The beginning of Parshas Re establishes the centrality of the Beis HaMikdash in many ways in counter-distinction to a wild, chaotic, and defederalized world of Avodah Zarah, in which Avodah Zarah is rampant on every mountain, Tachas Kol Eitz Ra'anan, and part of our duty upon entering the land is to cleanse it of savagery and paganism, hence the harsh treatment, the disproportionately harsh treatment toward the inhabitants. And part of the characteristics of the pagan world is multiplicity of deities and multiplicity of sites. And there's a federalization and a centralization of the Beis HaMikdash in contrast to that dispersal, which so characterizes Avodah Zarah. So having discussed our responsibility to empty the land of Avodah Zarah, the centrality and the exclusivity of the Beis HaMikdash is described. Kiim lefnei Hashem elokecha tochlenu, lo tasun kein Hashem elokechem, and the parasha describes various korbanos and mitzvos that are pivoted upon the Beis HaMikdash. At this point, the Torah describes a world and a scenario in which the spread of the Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael will be too broad to be exclusively pivoted on the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, sacrifices and ceremonies are still limited to the Beis HaMikdash, but every time a person wants to consume meat, they may live too far to allow simply bringing a korban and consuming the meat in the aftermath of the korban. So the Torah describes, and it's machlokus between a bikiva or a bishmol, whether this is new, according to one position, in the desert where everything could be pivoted on the Mishkan, they were allowed to eat meat without shechita. And the Torah now is describing that now that you're no longer proximate to the Beis HaMikdash, you may live at a distance. Ki yarchiv Hashem Elokecha eskivulcha, which is a bittersweet. It's a bittersweet prophecy. It's a bittersweet vision. On the one hand, it's a bit bitter that people will live at a distance from the Beis HaMikdash. In some ideal world, our interaction with the Beis HaMikdash is so commonplace that we all have easy access to the Beis HaMikdash, and all meats consumed are in the wake of a carbon offering. In a different stage in Parshas Re, the Torah describes L'shichno tidrashu uvasa shama. You should pursue the Makom HaShchina. And according to one position, the Rabban quotes this, you should inquire as to where the Beis HaMikdash is as you pilgrimage toward the Beis HaMikdash and rally other people who may not know and lead them to the Beis HaMikdash. On the one hand, it's a very exciting scene where there's a hullabaloo and a lot of energy and a public awakening. On the other hand, it's describing a scene in which not everyone has innate or obvious directions to the Beis HaMikdash and they have to ask and inquire. So it is a bit of a bittersweet. Obviously, the expansion of population and the expansion of land residence is reflective of the growth of a robust nation and the fulfillment of ancient prophecies that will be as multiple as the stars, as the sand, as the earth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs them of a world in which not every Jew can be aligned with the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they are allowed to consume meat outside of the context of a korban, and the laws of that consumption are iterated, in particular, not drinking the blood. A little bit later, Kisa Hadam, similar, a little earlier, was discussed related to not drinking the blood should be covered. In any event, how will Eretz Yisrael expand? How will this expansion take place? On the one hand, there are various references, both in the Psukim and in overt sense and in a more an implication which Chazal elaborate that the actual boundaries of Eretz Yisrael will spread into areas which reflect more of the biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael stated in Pesukim. So for example, as the boundaries are described in Parshas Maaseh, and then again in the early stages of Sefer Devarim, there is a sense that biblical Eretz Yisrael can stretch from as north as Nahar Paras, as north as areas in modern-day Iraq, and as south as Nachal Mitzrayim, to areas bordering or close on Egypt. So certainly there's a lengthening of Eretz Yisrael, north to south, that is alluded to in various descriptions of the boundaries, of the borders. Again, we can't pin or tag these borders and these coordinates precisely, but the Harchava and the expansion of Eretz Yisrael, as it was in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, and as we expect at some level, that expansion to take place when all the Jews return to Eretz Yisrael, and the current borders and boundaries of Eretz Yisrael may not be sufficient to contain that mass population migration. Similarly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avram the lands of 10 nations, and the Jewish people, even in biblical times, only inherit the lands of 7 nations, the 7 indigenous populations living in Eretz Yisrael. There are 3 populations or 3 lands inhabited and inherited by Ammon, Moab, and Esav, more or less on the east bank of the Jordan River. If in the days of Mashiach all these lands will be centralized as Jewish-owned lands, then there's an expansion not just of the length of Eretz Yisrael, but of the width of Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, it can't really expand westerly because it's bound by the sea, but it can expand easterly. This is part of our challenge in advancing towards a redemptive state. We believe that in a redemptive reality, in a post-historical reality, presumably the borders of Eretz Yisrael will be significantly and dramatically larger than they currently are. And we certainly, at a spiritual realm, are advancing towards that agenda and have to remember that Eretz Yisrael will be more expansive and more will be shaped differently when Mashiach comes, at least if we're to follow some of the boundaries described in Tanakh and some of the Midrashim associated with that. Of course, right now, in our current reality, most of the world barely recognizes Israeli sovereignty over the more limited areas of Eretz Yisrael. And certainly in the biblical hinterland of Yehudah and Shomron and Yerushalayim, our sovereignty is hotly contested, and very often we're cast unfairly as an imperialist and colonialist nation, hell-bent on conquering land and gathering land. And we certainly don't eye lands which aren't ours at this point based on legal realities, based on moral recognition of those that populations that currently inhabit the land. Although acquiring land through legal means and through internationally approved means, even though very often when we do follow the international expectations, even then, sometimes our activities and behavior is discredited and is in some ways indicted. But it's a very, very tricky place to be in, a very tricky reality to live in a land and to respect the very limited boundaries, even though we see our presence in this land as a catapult or a starting point to create a messianic reality in which the land really will expand. But we certainly don't want to present ourselves on many levels, not just diplomatically, but morally and even in some ways halachically, as avaricious to acquire other people's lands under the current historical reality. I think some of that is also conveyed by an interesting medrash. In this week's parsha, the Medrash interprets the pasuk in Tehillim, "Agila v'esmecha b'chasdecha," I will celebrate your charity, your kindness. Asher isa asani, you saw my suffering. Yadata b'tzaros nafshi, you understood the persecution of my soul. Lo hiskartani bi'aroyev, you didn't imprison me with the enemy. Hamanata b'mechav raglai. So this is a series of 5 or 6 interventions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rescue, salvations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You delivered chesed, you saw my suffering, you understood my persecution, you didn't imprison me in the enemy, or with the enemy, and then you established my feet in a broad base, in a broad home, in a broad support system, b'merchav raglai. So one interpretation of this medrash are the successive salvations of Yosef from his master's wife, from Paro, from the various challenges of prison. But the second interpretation describes Jewish people, and particularly the exodus from Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from the Egyptians. He didn't relinquish or forfeit our money. He saw the hard work. He listened to our tefillah. He understood the bitterness that our lives were subjected to. Finally, he delivered us from the Yamsuf. So there's a series and a sequence of various salvations and rescues that Kodesh Baruch Hu provided. And then finally, Hamadata Bamerchav Raglai. You reinforced my presence on a very broad base in a very broad home. And the Medrash interprets this to refer to the expansion of Eretz Yisrael. Hamadata Bamerchav Raglai. You established me in a very wide, sweeping landscape. Namely, Ki Yarchiv Hashem Elokecha Es Gevulcha. Now it's clear that all the other events happened immediately in Egypt, whereas Ki Archiv didn't just get delayed 40 years, but even when they entered Eretz Israel, it was a while until the boundaries could be expanded and until the situation could be solidified. So there's a sense that this is a final stage, even in the timeline of the first redemption, which is pretty rapid. This is a final stage that was deferred beyond some of the earlier preliminary stages of redemptive achievement. And certainly in our reality, we sense that many of those prophecies have arrived and have materialized. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has provided salvation, has rescued us from the Holocaust, rescued us from imprisonment, hasn't delivered us to the enemy, military victories. But this state of Ki Archiv, this prophecy that one day HaKadosh Baruch Hu will expand our borders, we're very much living through this pasuk that it hasn't occurred yet. And although we dream of it, we still wait for it to evolve. But there's a different medrash with a slightly different view on how the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael will expand when the full population of the Jewish people returns. And this is Rabbi Yitzchak's drasha. And Rabbi Yitzchak compares Eretz Yisrael to a scroll. A scroll seems very, very limited in its surface area. But as you unroll it and unravel it, you sense that the surface area is larger than you otherwise noticed. Similarly, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, as described in Parshas Ekev, is a land of mountains, valleys, cliffs, a very mountainous region, as we know, various mountain ranges in Israel, which means that the surface area in Israel is larger than the actual, if you flattened all the mountains, the surface area would expand. And the Medrash, Rabbi Yitzchak, quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, which describes a flattening of the topography of Israel in the end of days. Kol ge yinaseh, v'chol har v'giva yishbolu, v'haya ha'akov l'mishav ha'rachasim l'vika. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will flatten Eretz Yisrael in a way that will maximize and fully exploit its, as we would say, its now crumpled up or its condensed surface area. So if the mountains are flattened, presumably there'll be greater surface area in Eretz Yisrael, even without, in some ways, bordering or colonizing neighboring lands. And there are various midrashim about this vis-a-vis Yushalayim. Yushalayim in particular is surrounded by very mountainous regions, Yushalayim Harim Savivla, as we read in Tehillim. And there's a midrash about the surrounding hills of Yushalayim being flattened and the actual mountain of Har Hamoriah rising. In many respects, that's not primarily to maximize the surface area for population and for residents and for farming, but it's to highlight the visibility of the Beis HaMikdash even from afar. At this point, the Beis HaMikdash can't be seen from afar because it's obscured or it's surrounded by mountains. Once the mountainous region is flattened, the Beis HaMikdash will become more visible and more accentuated. But it's an interesting medrash, because from our perspective, we feel that mountains and cliffs and valleys create topographical aesthetics, and it lends charm and beauty to a land. And we've seen so many urban sprawls that are based on grids without any mountains, and just endless and endless grids of houses and population, and some more mountainous regions in our world that tend to be attractive, the Alps or the fjords or the mountainous regions in southern Asia, wherever they may be, the Appalachians, the Rockies. We sense that these are areas that have beauty and aesthetics. And if we were offered the opportunity to flatten these areas, we probably would choose not to. We would probably choose to maintain their differing altitudes. So this medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will flatten Eretz Yisrael, as we would say, like a pancake, and may expand the surface area and hence the sustainability for large populations, but on the other hand, it may take away the aesthetics. So we have to assume that the aesthetics themselves will be redirected in some other format, perhaps in a more spiritual format, one that's less tethered to human beings and natural aesthetic expectations. But it is interesting that Rabbi Yitzchak felt that the Harchava and the expansion of Eretz Yisrael will take place within its own borders, and this is reminiscent of Chazal's interpretation of the pasuk describing Eretz Yisrael's Eretz HaTzvi, the skin. Rashi quotes as the skin of a deer. Once the deer has been killed and skinned, the skin starts to contract, and you can't imagine that skin ever contained or ever encircled such a large animal. And when Eretz Yisrael is alive, so to speak, spiritually, nationally, historically, so its skin, its borders can encompass a larger population than you would otherwise feel, and certainly than it is able to during times of exile and desolation. So it's an important pasuk, Ki Archiv Hashem Elokecha, first and foremost, before questioning how Eretz Yisrael will expand, just simply the recognition that it one day will expand, not just in the timeline of the Yitzias Mitzrayim redemption, but in our future messianic redemption, to incorporate a larger population of returning Jews. But it's deferred, and it's not something which will happen as immediate as some of the other aspects of our salvation, and that's why the Torah describes it as ki archiv, one day. How it will expand seems as if there are at least two interpretations in Chazal, one which sees the original borders being reset and rebooted, and one which sees Eretz Yisrael itself, the Eretz Yisrael as we know it, the smaller version of Eretz Yisrael. Of course, the two are not mutually exclusive.